For our reflection today, I'm going to dip into the gospel appointed for today at the end of the reading. If you want the full reading, it's included in the bulletin at the end. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So as I said, these words come from the end of a very familiar passage from the 14th chapter of John, the Gospel of John, that is frequently heard at funerals. Here Jesus begins to prepare his disciples for his departure, starting with, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." Now, most John 14 sermons, mine included, have tended to focus on the early verses of this section and the power of the word to comfort in times of loss. And in this time of COVID-19, we certainly need extra measures of that power. Still, I want to jump, as I already have, to the end of the gospel text and explore the power of the Spirit that moves from comfort to courage and action, giving the followers of Jesus power to do the works of Jesus and even greater works than these. "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." Because I am going to the Father. Or as we say in the Apostles' Creed, Jesus will be ascending to the right hand of God. The right hand of God, quick sidebar, is Bible speak for the place where Jesus will enjoy God's agency for unlimited presence. No longer will Jesus be that Nazarene who once healed a beggar in the neighborhood who had been born blind. The Spirit of Jesus will be seen opening eyes here, there, everywhere. No longer will Jesus be that scofflaw rabbi who once broke bread with riffraff in that house on the Bethany Road. The Spirit of Jesus will be seen breaking bread at tables at all times and in all places. No longer will Jesus be that oddball friend who once came late, 4 days late, to a funeral and started yelling, "Come out!" into a dead man's tomb. For the Spirit of Jesus will be seen incessantly inciting resurrections at the gates of every form of hell on earth. Here, there, everywhere, as the Spirit of the risen Christ gathers and empowers hands for God's work. Now, for the purpose of giving glimpses of how the power of the Spirit works in and through communities of believers, the author of the Gospel according to Luke wrote a sequel. We know it as the Book of the Acts of the Apostles. For example, as we just heard, the book of Acts in chapter 3. Peter and John go to pray in the temple. Outside the temple is a man whose legs have never worked right since the day he was born. He sees Peter and John and begs for money. while their pockets are empty, they do have, drum roll, fanfare, ta-da, the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, they do not plead, they command. Stand up and walk. And the man stands up and walks and dances. Easy peasy. No. Because the way I just summarized this story makes Peter and John look like a couple of Jesus freelancers who have a magic healing app in their iPhones. The book of Acts is not the user's manual for Christian apps. It is instead a very rich and very complicated narrative that offers glimpses of the spirit of the suffering, crucified, and risen Jesus at work in and through human beings that are being gathered by the Spirit, and often at the start may have very little in common with one another. Remember the Pentecost story, the beginning of Acts chapter 2. After a flaming entrance, the Spirit downloads God's original translation app into the mouths of a bunch of Galilean nobodies whose leader had been executed. Yet suddenly it is possible for people from every corner of the known world to have a real-time common experience, hearing about the mighty acts of the God who tears down barriers and frees the enslaved. Here the medium is the message. Young and old, male and female, slaves and free by God's power, together dreaming dreams and seeing visions. Because it is the Spirit of the suffering, dying, rising Jesus who is now at the right hand of God, working to create communion out of chaos here, there, and everywhere. When we hear how the Spirit brings this all together in Acts 2, beginning at the 44th verse, everybody all together, Friede, Freude, Eierkuchen, peace cake and peace, love, and pound cake. Well, we dare not turn this into an idyllic tableau ripe for stained glass windows, because those windows would break. Think about it. Consider the embodied diversity of customs, cultural preferences, culinary traditions among the thousands who were gathered in Jerusalem from all over the known world. And feast days in Jerusalem must have always been crowded, but the crowds would come, go into the temple, say their prayers, offer sacrifices, and then go home. But since Pentecost, many of them are not going. They are staying together. Imagine what it would be like if all the runners and visitors from all around the globe who converge on Boston for the Boston Marathon decided to stay and hang out indefinitely. As we attempt to imagine this motley, common life presented here in Acts, I find what the biblical scholar Willie Jennings suggests to be very helpful. And that is, we shift our thinking from transactions to space created. The Spirit at work creating common space where life stories, life projects, plans, purposes are being intercepted by a new orientation. Seeing now as Jesus sees, seeing as God sees. In this space of Spirit-creating communion, all that is common in the sense of being ordinary and everyday stuff becomes the very stuff that the Spirit can put to work. So by the end of Acts chapter 2, the days of those gathered are getting shaped by this new way of seeing, this new orientation. There are regular times in the day for storytelling, stories about the apostles and the work of Jesus when Jesus was among them. There are times for prayer, and most certainly, it need not be said, singing of the Psalms. There are times for breaking bread, preceded by even more time for meal negotiation and preparation, followed by meal negotiation for cleanup. And then one day, at 3 o'clock, per routine, Peter and John go to the temple to pray. At the same time, at 3 o'clock, a man is being carried, as he needed to be carried since birth, to one of the temple's gates. Per his routine, he arrives at the beautiful gate, which certainly sounds like prime begging real estate, and perhaps is the highest achievement a man who cannot stand may aspire to. To begin with, the beggar sees Peter and John, but he doesn't really see them. He sees coin. And because he's probably heard buzz about the Galileans, who are so very generous and caring for one another, in Peter and John, he may see, ooh, more coin than usual when he asks. Peter sees differently. Peter doesn't see a category of human being, a beggar. Instead, Peter looks intently, not calculating a coming transaction. The beggar asks for money. Well, transactionally, giving beggars money is the charitable thing for me to do, so God and others will think well of me, tit for tat. But with the eyes of the Spirit, Peter sees someone who was made by God for a relationship of love with God. So, look, says Peter, look at us. And in this communion of eyes meeting, expectations that began as transactional explode into new territory. And when Peter says, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk, Peter is not laying down some external power on a man's broken body. Peter is calling out the man's true name, the name of the author of the man's life, Jesus. And then what happens? The man, for the first time in his entire life, stands up unaided, and he walks as if he's been walking his whole life, and leaps, dances as if he were born to be a dancer, which he was. And all Peter and John have done is use the gift that they were given so that this man could be seen by his own eyes and others as God sees him. And next, the newly standing, walking, dancing man, just as immediately as he sees John and Peter going into the temple, and I didn't read this verse, it's the one right after where I ended, He sees a pair who are therefore walking with him in his own life. And so we are told, instead of taking bows, the man clings to Peter and John. For in them he has found community. And that community can only grow. So, this powerful thing that Jesus says in John 14, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works I do, and in fact will do even greater works than these, is a promise that is sure. And the hymn we're about to sing will riff on the theme of this promise. There is a balm in every Gilead, everywhere, to make the wounded whole. And if you cannot preach like Peter, and if you cannot pray like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. All. No exceptions. With love, that begins with seeing everyone as a beloved child of God, made for joy, made for dancing. It's the love that has gathered us together, so that while it may be true that I lack X, you will have X and I will have Z, and you this and that, and we mix it all together, and whatever the Spirit needs will be present. So you may not preach like Peter, but you can go to Trader Joe's for your neighbor who can't go out. And maybe you cannot pray like Paul, but that really is okay, because when Paul prays, it isn't really very easy to understand. I think God probably appreciates a good, straightforward petition, like, show us, God, how we can help our neighbors without housing at this time when the usual band-aids do not work. And in this time when masks obscure most of our faces, our eyes are more than important than ever, for there are many tears to be shed and so much blindness to be healed. Ahmed Arbery, the name of the young man who went for a jog and never came home. His grave is not just in Georgia. The Spirit of Jesus will be seen opening blind eyes here, there, and everywhere. The Spirit of Jesus will be seen breaking bread at tables at all times and in all places. And the Spirit of Jesus will be seen incessantly inciting resurrections at the gates of every form of hell on earth, because Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.